Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 17th. Joining us this very morning is the bank dude in his red suit, Mr. Dolby.
Not quite red. Well, in fact, okay. I don't think I own a red suit.
Few do.
Yes.
Few do.
I know a couple that do, and they only wear them at special occasions.
Yeah, once a year or during the Scottish Open.
You know, with your white beard, I think you'd make a great Santa.
Yeah, and I'd have to put the weight back on. Our why do they say that this morning has special meaning for Mr. Dolby.
Great.
Being the Oregonian that as his native state. Beaver. Has the animal beaver or its fur anything to do with a hat's being called a beaver?
Well, historically, beaver hides were used to make top hats. And so they're very popular. In fact, one thing that a lot of people don't know is nutrii were brought and introduced to the U.S. because the beavers were running
scared in the woods.
they were scarce. But really, the true definition of beaver would be somebody that is useless and has no value to society. And that has more to do with the fact that I went to the University of Oregon, and of course, you know, we don't look favorably upon the beavers.
Corvallis just kind of is a white spot on the map.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's even in the
white
state of
out,
Oregon.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said it with integrity, you said it with passion, and you said it with absolute wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Has the beaver animal or its fur anything to do with a hat's being called a beaver? Not a thing. A hat is called a beaver because it's lifted off the head, and at one time the portion of the helmet that could be lifted up so that the wearer could take a drink was called a beaver.
Wow. What do you know?
This beaver got its name from the old Italian verb bevere, meaning to
beverage.
Drink. Yes.
Beverage. Okay. I'm going to believe you.
But nice try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is this stuff that we're hearing about now with interest rates later this week possibly being adjusted? Fact, fiction? It certainly has played havoc in the markets for the last week or week and a half.
Well, interest rates are very, very interesting these days. And Federal Reserve has kind of softened their language about future increases. There's supposed to be one, theoretically, one more this year and potentially two next year. But in the last meeting, we saw some softening of that language as they're looking at some of the economic indicators and so forth.
Seeing the impacts of what has happened in the past or reading the tea leaves towards the future?
I think reading the tea leaves moving forward. And so one of the things that we're seeing is an interesting dynamic, and that is called we're seeing a flattening yield curve. And when it becomes inverted, that sometimes is a sign of danger. So let me explain what the yield curve is. And that's simply if you plot out the interest rates against the time of an investment, you know, for instance.
If you have a 10-year bond.
Correct. And you would expect the 10-year bond rate to be higher than a 5-year, which would be higher than a 2-year, which would be higher than an overnight. So you have short-term rates and long-term rates, and theoretically a long-term rate, because money has more value over time, is higher than a short-term rate. Well, what we're seeing is as they're raising short-term rates, we've not seen the same movement, an equal movement, in long-term rates, and so that yield curve is flattening. And why is that important?
Or more attractive on the short term rather than doing the long term.
Correct. Yeah. And so, which is the opposite of what it should be. And the reason that's important to note is every recession we've ever had was preceded by an inverted yield curve.
But 100% absolute?
Every recession. But not every flat inverted yield curve resulted in a recession. So it's an indicator, but it's not an absolute indicator because we've had inverted yield curves and was not followed by a recession.
In those scenarios, what happened?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that the economy will stall and go into a free fall or a recession or anything like that. That's a possible, but I suppose if something was announced this afternoon, I don't know what it would be. We could go into a free fall recession also.
And it is an indicator of the potential of a recession. And so you're seeing the markets react to that. We've certainly seen it in community bank stocks. Those have significantly softened as people have looked at the yield curves as a potential sign for trouble down the road. And, of course, we're looking at it and saying, okay, we need to be prepared in case this does happen. At the same time, you know, I'm not we're not bringing gloom to the situation. But, you know, it is one of those things that most investors are now looking at and saying, okay, this is a possibility. I need to be prepared for it.
So is it as simple, John, as having your plan B and going, okay, we better make sure it's up to speed and that it's current. So if we need to pull the trigger, everything is current. Rather than just saying, yeah, we have contingency plans over here and you not really pay too much attention to it until you're in the middle of needing to execute.
So you have to
plan.
Really look at your business and say, okay, how exposed am I to the recession? And also what kind of a recession it's going to be if we have one. And so, you know, taking on if you are adversely affected by such economic events, then maybe it's not the time to take on extra debt, expand.
As contrasted to being, let's say, a public utility, for example. Just to cite one that's kind of floating around right now.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Because there are certainly business types that are immune to anything. Monopolies. I like that game, too. Yeah. It's 8:19.
It's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby, president at Redwood Capital Bank. John, the concept of the flattening or in inverting yield curve, one of the things that I had heard last week was that the unemployment application number was at a 49-year low. Sounds pretty robust. Now, it doesn't say what the compensation level is. It doesn't say what the take-home is. You know, things certainly have changed in the last 50 years as far as government aggressiveness towards our income. Okay. But nonetheless, it's still at an all-time almost low. That kind of seems like it's pretty healthy stuff. True?
Yes and no. How do you like that?
Perfect.
So I actually had this conversation with a kind of a banker economist guy that I go to. Is one of the guys that I pick up the phone and ask my questions of. And as you know, we were talking about the inverted yield curve and the possibility of a recession. He said, this recession will be different than the one we had in 2007, you know, through 9. That recession.
9? How about 17?
Yeah. that recession was driven by housing issues. And if you remember Dodd-Frank, they were the ones that are overseeing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And that's when they got so creative and we did a bunch of really stupid things like stated income loans where you could get a mortgage without even putting a down payment or proof of income. It's whatever you said you made. That's what they used on the application. They'd also these creative stuff.
You were saying housing. I'm thinking House right. of Cards issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, to drive home ownership because of the political demands out of Washington.
So, you know, what we
Came
had
roost.
Was a system that was totally based on the ever-increasing value of real estate. But if real estate values ever declined, it would collapse. And that is exactly what happened. And we had excess housing. We had a whole bunch of housing issues. So that was really, if for layman's terms, an asset-based recession. This one, and your question had to do with labor. Well, one of the challenges that most industries are having these days in the U.S. is finding people willing to work. Unemployment is down.
That's not just regional?
No, that is pretty universal across the board, and I think it has more to do with the changes in our generations.
Attitude and culture.
For instance, you know, tradesmen, there's a huge, huge need for people to work in the trades, you know, plumbers and carpenters and, you know, everybody that we need to do construction. There's a huge shortage of those.
Auto mechanics or, pardon me?
Exact.
Technicians?
Well.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, things have changed.
Auto mechanics, I mean, that is a highly technical field. I mean,
when I was a kid. Don't want to blow up that computer.
Huh? Yeah. When I was a kid, I'd open up the hood and I could change the points and the plugs and change my oil, and I've even pulled engines and rebuilt them.
Really?
Today, yeah. Today, I open the hood and I just close it, take it to the shop, because I have no idea how any of that stuff works.
I'm wondering, just as a quick tangent, if there's going to be a resurgence in vehicles made in the 60s and 70s.
I just read an
article. For that very purpose, and you don't have to worry about the electronic pulse, you don't have to worry about computers, you can actually kind of figure out what's going on. Now, lesser efficiencies, obviously, because
well, that's the problem.
Heavier and bigger and that kind of stuff, but it's different. I mean, it's almost like a different industry.
Yeah. Keep in mind, we go back. You know, fuel economy was poor. There was a lot of emissions. So you know, I don't think you could do that in the current regulatory environment.
Probably have to change some aspects of it.
But with that said, I just read an article this morning that there is a company that has rejuvenated the old Ford Bronco, and they are actually permitted by Ford to build the old Broncos, pre-77, frame, body up, and I think they're using modern Ford motors for them. And the good news is they only run between $95,000 and $180,000. But if you want the deluxe version, there is one available for $250,000. So I think you're going to go down and order one right now.
I think Rexy's smart. He just kind of fixed up an old one.
Yeah.
Didn't worry too much about it. So we've got the unemployment figures where they are, unemployment filings where they are, the economy charging along as it is. Why is there this specter then of we have to monkey with it? Why not just kind of take your hands off and let's see what happens? If inflation starts to show, okay, but we still got tariffs. We've got a lot of things going on internationally also. You know, if you keep injecting more and more variables, it would seem to me that things can get out of control and start to compound getting out of control rather easily.
So, you know, the talk of tariffs is terrifying to some people in the markets. And concerning to consumers because, you know, you put tariffs on, you know, for instance, Chinese goods. We are so used to paying almost nothing for things that having to pay a living wage for industry, you know, industries that are actually not harming the economy, you know, there's a cost to that. And so we're used to not having to pay for those things. So there's going to be some pain in here. Possibly, depending on how things go. But on the good news is China blinked, and they just put in some huge orders for soybeans, which was one of the things that Trump put down.
Soy sauce continues.
Yes. So
yes.
I want to say it was, you know, 1.5 million tons of soybean oil.
It was a big chunky. I know that the ag community was
They're
rather pleased with that day.
Happy campers.
Yes, yes.
Happy growers.
After the break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. John, we've had a couple of regional events, I guess would be the simplest thing this year, that may or may not be affecting the economies locally or in our region more than some of the national stuff that's going on, because I think California seems to be its own worst enemy at times, so... You know, what we deal with is what we deal with.
We have met the enemy. It is us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Paradise, ground zero, okay? Not a heck of a lot left there. Houses, infrastructure, businesses, jobs, take your pick, whatever you want to define it as. Not a whole heck of a lot that's there. It's another situation that our region is dealing with that's a drain. That's draining on a lot of the natural resources. You know, the mills in Brookings are running 190 miles an hour. I know Schmidt-Bauer's running a lot of the stuff, too. Pulling timber into the area. You had mentioned the craftsmen, and trades, and those folks not being available. Okay, because there's just not that many of them, and we've got high demand now. Do you see a shift in our economy being driven by this sort of thing, either getting back into natural resources, or we build everything with cinder block so it can't burn because of the prevalence of the fires throughout the entire area?
Of course, Paradise is probably one of the saddest stories we hear in the wildfires. Not that any of them are, delightful, but certainly...
Well, Grants Pass was dealing with it, with Klondike and, et cetera, et cetera.
So, but this one is a little unique, and this is just my own perspective. It's a little unique in that it is a more isolated town where, Santa Rosa, a section of it burnt, but the majority of the infrastructure for their economy is still there. And so the demand for housing will continue. Same thing in most of the other, Malibu,
They'll backfill in and...
They'll just build more beautiful houses. So, and not that I'm trying to make light of that, but, they don't have the economic issues that an entire small town of Paradise will have.
Well, and Chico, too. I mean, it certainly isn't just that one little jurisdiction. Yeah. It's that whole
area.
Butte College, Junior College. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that's in there, but...
So it'll be interesting to see... if I lived in Paradise, and it's a retirement community, a significant retirement community, if I lived in Paradise and I was retired and my home burnt down to nothing, am I going to stay and fight the fight to rebuild my home? Where do I stay in the meantime? You have to clean the lot of the toxic...
Where the residue.
Residue that's there. Then you have to go through the permitting process, find a contractor, and you're going to have to pay, a huge rate because, there's just
high demand, low supply.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and it's not just the tradesmen, but as you mentioned, building materials. The hurricane in Houston had a big impact on aluminum, windows and doors and all of that. And we felt that when we were doing our Henderson Center branch. And so there's this huge ripple effect that goes through. And so there's some significant challenges. And it's going to be a very interesting to watch what happens in Paradise and how much of that gets rebuilt.
Anecdotally, I know of three homes that were purchased in Brookings from people that said, okay, no.
Not going back.
We're gone.
Yeah.
You know, looking for communities that are also a little bit more aged.
Mm-hmm.
And where can we set in? And somehow the ocean, I think, has a little bit more comfort right now than do the grass fields.
Yeah.
Out in front of them.
Well, and I have a personal friend whose home was burnt in Santa Rosa down to the ground. He was close to retirement, so he just said, you know, it's going to take estimated 4 years to rebuild my home. By that time, I will be retired. So they just took the money and, you know, moved to Colorado and bought a really nice house there.
Yeah. Tougher to pop in on them, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's always part of the challenge, I think, sometimes is some of those relocation things. But I think it's something – I'm surprised that there's not a structural response by the state. And we have had earthquakes. We've had windstorms. We've had fire. And that there's just not a template, but something equivalent to that. We start rolling these things out, and we worry about the schools, and we worry about this folks and these situations, and we just kind of start getting to going. It's like they're trying to reinvent it again. What do we do now? What do we do now? Rather than just having state resources come in or federal resources and to help assist. Long term, you hear that these are economic stimulators. Do you think that that's going to be the play this time also?
I don't know. I think Paradise is such a unique situation that it's going to be very, you know, I don't have any predictions. Now, certainly those that are in the trades, that, you know, contracts and so forth, will do very well during this period of time because plenty of work. You know, at the same time, you know, it's not just rebuilding houses, but they lost their school, they lost their hospital. You know, that whole community, you know, a lot of the infrastructure that attracts people to be there, and replacing a hospital, that is going to take a long time. I mean, OshPod, you know, I've been involved in medical stuff, and you think we have hoops to jump through. Hospitals, you know, are much, much more
makes the Coastal Commission look like a grease pig.
Yeah, luckily the Coastal Commission doesn't have influence over Paradise, although they probably would try to exercise it.
Well, and you've got fish and game and or fish and wildlife, whatever it's called. I mean, there's a lot of other things that are at work, and anytime you're in that interface, so it certainly would be a challenge. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. John, the marijuana, now we've got almost 12 months under our belt. We had discussions this time last year and preceding years about what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? Mm-hmm. I've heard some figures that indicate that the city of Eureka is, they're off, but not off as much as what there were some concerns about. So we've got the national tide going up, the local tide kind of dampening that down a little bit. Overall, is Humboldt County, do you think, more economically solid December of 18 than it was December of 17?
We are an economy in transition. And what we saw with the legalization of cannabis, marijuana, whatever you want to call it, you know, and we had anticipated that there would be some significant changes in the profitability and the profit structure of growing cannabis, and certainly we've seen that.
And in some related niches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're seeing expansion. You know, you're losing a lot of revenue sales from growers, but we're gaining it and some jobs in the area of manufacturing. And so I think we're still in that place where we're sorting through whether it's going to, you know, land approximately where we are now, whether we're going to see some increases because of the manufacturing.
Well, let's back it up. Yeah, I know that we got the big Kmart. In general, are you surprised at how healthy the local economy is at this point, or were you thinking that there would be more of a negative impact with legalization?
We were thinking about a 25% impact overall, but we've seen sales tax and sales revenues, depending on specific industries, dropping anywhere from about 7 to 12%. Some more. I mean, I know of one.
We're sure there are certain niches that are
getting down 40%. Some that have almost completely stopped. So it's a realm, but when you sort it all down to average it out, you know, we're probably seeing, you know, somewhere between, you know, 7 and 8% drop in retail.
So let me ask you to flip it then. If it was still illegal, would we be dancing in the streets at the local economic picture?
Today, I think our economy would be stronger if it was still illegal. That doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. We're in transition.
Right.
So where's it going to sort out? I don't know.
And what are we transitioning to?
And, you know, I don't think the retail thing is going to be the mecca that a lot of people thought. We're not going to be the wine country. You know, I don't see us being the wine country of cannabis. But certainly a lot of manufacturers have started to open up to create products out of cannabis. And, of course, it's a great time because the prices are so low. The raw materials are very cheap.
Yeah, your entry can come in. What are your thoughts about the Kmart building kicking over into this, if it happens?
I just saw the headlines on that. I did not read the article. But I have heard of that company, and I understand that they're growing pretty fast.
Yeah. Real estate is also going up, commercial real estate. There's some transactions that are going on. It kind of seems like there's bubbling.
So warehouse manufacturing space, there's a lot of demand for. We still have a lot of open storefronts as retail is shifting. And I think that's a nationwide problem. If you want to call it a problem, it's so easy to order online. Big box retailers. So the average,
there's still storefront. The evolution is still going on out there. Yeah.
So the local retailer is pretty much limited to specialty items.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
And to you and to your family.
See everybody tomorrow.